Good morning. Again, good to see your smiling faces. I was so excited for church this week. Were you excited for church? Well, you don't have to answer. Well, maybe you weren't. Yes, I've been so excited this week to see what God wants to do in hearts and lives today. I was so excited to worship with you guys. I was so excited for his presence. I feel like, not that God hasn't been speaking a lot. That's one of the things that I've talked about it a couple times, but kind of throughout this whole quarantine nonsense and whatever, everything that's going on, it's easy. Don't mean to start a riot here. It's just something intro. I was trying to make wise decisions and whatever. I felt like we've had a grace of God on our lives to really hear the voice of God. And I don't know whether we've made the best decisions or not or whatever, that remains to be seen. But as far as like God confirming what he's speaking to our hearts, you know, to share as the word of God and messages and stuff, there's just been an extra grace on that. And so we would have a conversation over there and we would go later that week and we'd listen to something. It would be almost verbatim. And we kept approaching it from, gosh, we don't know what we're doing, but we're going to seek the face of the Lord. He knows what he's doing. And God has been so good to us to let us hear his voice with accuracy. We feel at least confirmation in so many different ways. And so if you weren't here in the last week or two, we've been still talking about stewarding this season well. And not just this season, every season. Good seasons, bad seasons, wherever you're at. But it's easy for us when we get into a season in our life that's out of the norm. Has anyone ever been in a season in your life that's out of the norm? Maybe you're switching jobs or you're moving. How many love to move?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Hallelujah, we saw that
hand. We saw that hand, hallelujah. Or, you know, in the unfortunate events when someone passes away, it's just there's all these new normals or you know, broken relationships or whatever. Just when you're in a season of your life that's not normal, or you're learning a new, Marnie for her work has been learning some video stuff. So I'm 3 months ahead of her because I started from scratch 3 months ago, and so I've been kind of smiling at her angst and helping. And smiling, because I know what she's going through, and there's really nothing I can do other than help, but you kind of have to plod your way through it yourself. But anyone ever learned a new skill for your job that puts you outside of your comfort zone? A couple of you? Yeah. If you haven't, boy, you should. It's good. It makes you feel alive. It makes you feel some days like you want to die.
Some days.
It does, but we don't have to buy into that. So anyways, we've been talking about how do we steward our seasons well, because a lot of times we don't get to choose what season we're in, whether it's a good one or bad one, and so we get to decide what we're going to do with them. And so we're on kind of a little, the section of that. Our text is, which we haven't been to in a long time, but our actual text is Philippians chapter 1, but that has inspired so many little bunny trails on this. And so the little bunny trail that we've been on for the last 2 weeks is discernment. Discernment. And we haven't even read the part in Philippians 1 on discernment yet, but trust me, it's in there. But we've been on all these other verses as we're kind of making our way around.
We've been building the backstory.
That's right.
Of discernment.
That's right. You know Joe, yeah? Well, here's the backstory about Joe. Yes. Well, we know discernment. Here's the backstory about Philippians 1, discernment. And so we've been doing some Old Testament verses, and Stephen spent some time in Psalm 119 and talking about ways and paths and God knowing our ways. And so we got to this verse, and this was kind of our hinge verse to switch into discernment, because this was a key piece. And so I know this is a little bit of review, but Psalm 119, 125, Stephen, could you read that for us?
Yes, I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes.
You like how I involved you?
I do. Thank you.
Because you're important to me.
Perfect.
And to them. So that's David's prayer in Psalm 119, and as he's listing out, you know, God, I love your laws, I love your commandments, and he has them before him, right? He has them in his heart, and he also has the law, like he reads it all the time, And he still is writing, God, give me discernment that I might understand your statutes. He's saying, God, I want to know you deeper than just following your laws. I want to follow your laws. And you'll see that that never means not following the laws of God. It means a deeper, like, I don't want to just follow the laws of God. I want to know the heart behind the laws. I want to know the law giver. I want to know his heart and his compassion and his mercy and his grace and his justice and all of those things that go with that. So this is David's prayer. We defined it as this, and it says to discern, it's to separate or distinguish, to see the difference between two or more things, or the power of perceiving differences of things or ideas. I don't know if you know this about me, Stephen, but I love research.
He does. It's very true.
I suppose it's God-given. It doesn't manifest as God-given very much, but it's this desire to kind of want all the information or whatever, and it often is a hindrance and not a help, but sometimes it is actually helpful. And so in order to make a decision between two things that would seemingly be identical, you know, I'm going to get a new set of microphones, or we're going to get a new projector, or whatever it is, they look pretty similar, and I will agonize. Day
Trisha
day.
Showed me this meme yesterday, and it was this character, like a cartoon character, and it was sweating, and the line read something about me when it's my turn to order off the menu, and I haven't fully rehearsed what I'm about to order. And that is Kirk. You've ever gone to a new restaurant with Kirk Snaza. Like, he was talking about going on vacation and how he will spend many weeks in advance preparing what he is going to eat at the restaurants on vacation, because he doesn't want to get to that restaurant and then suddenly not know what he's about to order. Sorry, I didn't mean to reveal that thing about you, but oh my goodness.
Talking about discernment.
We are talking about discernment. Amen, amen.
So what am I really looking for in these scenarios when I'm trying to decide between, I'm looking for discernment. I'm looking for, there's two items that are pretty similar in price and pretty similar in function. I'm trying to discern which one of those would be best fit my needs. That's discernment. How many were here when we talked about the Bean Boozled game? A few of you, yeah. I got two yellow jelly beans. It's a game. And someone asked me after church last week, is that really a thing? I'm like, it really is. And we played it. I was so sad because we had it at our home, and I was going to bring it for the example, and I must have thrown it away or whatever. But two green jelly beans. One is lime. One is green grass. And trust me when I say it tastes like green grass or booger or diaper or whatever. And it's just, but what you're lacking in that moment is discernment. Same with when I'm researching things. I'm looking for a way to get discernment. And so I need some pathway to get that. And so the best pathway that I found, a pathway that a lot of you guys use, is the simpler pathway. You just ask somebody. Be a lot simpler. I don't know. I feel this drive and this desire to find out for myself. And I will, and I absolutely will ask people. I'll exhaust that resource as well, because I want to be sure.
Yes.
Have this paralyzing fear, sure, which is not godly, of making a wrong decision. And so pray for me for that. Yeah. So it's somewhere in there is a kingdom reflection of that drive. I don't know what it looks like. It just doesn't look good in my life. But it helps me to hopefully make good decisions. So discernment is seeing the difference between two things. Are you just watching, or are you waiting to say something?
I'm totally just tracking with you right
now. Okay.
Exactly.
I was feeling you breathing on my neck there for a second.
No, I am tracking with you, buddy. I promise.
Right. I'm going to go to the next slide.
I will freely interject when you when you least expect it.
1 Kings chapter 3, we got to this last time. So this is Solomon talking. You guys, anyone ever heard of Solomon before? The wisdom of Solomon, talked about Captain 11 last time. Yeah, exactly. So this is Solomon, who was the son of David. For our Father's Day message last time, we were tying in discernment and how Solomon learned probably to pray this prayer by watching his father David. He watched his father David pray for discernment. He watched his father David have a humble heart. And he watched his father David seek the Lord on these kind of matters. And he watched his father David lead the kingdom of Israel through a great time. And so Solomon is now king. And so God shows up at Gibeon after they had offered all these sacrifices, and God shows up in a dream and asks Solomon this, the question, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? And imagine the deer in the headlights look you would have if God showed up. Imagine, like, how many of you have a semi-normal prayer time or a prayer place or a time that you pray? Maybe it's in the car on the way to work or maybe at your home or, you know, if you're retired, maybe it's all day long or I don't know, whatever. How insane would that be if God physically showed up in our time of prayer and said, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, deer in the headlights, anyone? Right. Like, how many of you guys have a well-rehearsed plan for what you would say in that moment? I don't. I'd be paralyzed. I'd be like, God, can I do some research? Is there an expiration on this? Because I need to get back to you.
I'll see you in three months.
Yes. Please let my internet connection stay good. Yes. But don't let that be my request. Yes. I don't want to burn a request. So God shows up to Solomon and asks him, and I love that he had such a humble heart that this was, we said last time, that we plan for all these great moments in life, but honestly, we're revealed in the moment. We have these, and I said the story about the school bus, you know, I was daydreamed. And I said this of guys. If you weren't here last week, this was almost unanimous with guys. I think it was unanimous, but it was almost unanimous for sure. How many guys has ever dreamed of being a hero? Like running into a burning building and saving someone or rescuing a drowning child or like that's just wired into guys. We kind of all have that dream. Jesse's like, yep. We all do. And so one of mine, I had lots of those, but one of mine was in the back of the school bus where we always sat as kids. I'd be like, what if Benny just keeled over right now? I'd go save the day. Because the whole rest of the bus would be like, oh, we don't know what to do. But I would know what to do. And I'd run up and I'd save the day. Because my dad has a grain truck. And so I recognized that shifter thing with the red button that you pull out. And I would just move him over and jump in the seat and I would steer us away from impending doom, right? And so we all have these, and you know what probably would have happened? I'd be like, ooh. So we plan for all of these great moments when we're really gonna shine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what happens? Is often we don't get to decide when these moments show up in our life. We don't get to decide when the crisis comes. We don't get to decide when the moment of need comes. We don't get to decide when everything breaks down all at once, or we don't get to decide when we get the phone call that someone is deathly ill and it was unexpected. We don't get to decide those moments. You know what happens in those moments? It reveals what's in our heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had that conversation in our Ephesians 5 study when we were first kind of starting out doing our Wednesday night videos, and kind of Kirk and I had that realization that how you respond, it was through a pastor that he and I both like to listen to. How you respond to a disruption reveals who you truly are. Like, we spend so much time trying to give the family photo portrait of myself where I am super ultra filtered. And the reality is how you respond in an interruption or a disruption in your life, that's who you really are. And so you got to work on that person,
That's what we're trying to say.
Not the filtered version of yourself.
That's what we're trying to say is if we pour and invest all of our energy in the filtered version of our lives, it's going to be ugly behind the scenes, right? We need to start doing some Monday morning Facebook posts behind the scenes. Not really. Don't really do that. But
don't do that.
But you know what I'm saying? Like the part of us that, like working on character. And so I love that we get this snapshot of Solomon, that his heart was so in the right place that God asked him, whatever you want, what do you want me to give you? And Solomon prayed this prayer. And so we're going to read this. This is 1 Kings 3:9. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was so pleased, that Solomon had asked for this. It's kind of where we ended. Well, we ended with one more verse last time that we're actually going to get to again. So some of this is going to feel like, are you guys just doing review today? We just felt like, we kind of have a phrase, we felt like there was a lot of meat left on that bone. So we felt like we wanted to come back to these scriptures kind of out of the context of the Father's Day part and felt like there was a lot of stuff that we haven't dug into on these verses yet. And one of these things starts out like this. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Now remember talking about Solomon's father, David. David had the law. He had the law of God. He had the Pentateuch. He had, you know, the laws of God that he could look at in scrolls and on paper. And he was the king, so he had access to that all the time. If you were, you know, a peasant or poor, you wouldn't have access to a scroll. Not everybody had a Bible in their house in those days. And so because David was a king, he had access to those. So he had access to the law all the time. He knew what right and wrong was. Amen? He had access to the Bible, at least the Bible in his times. I wonder if he knew that he was writing the Bible as he was penning these psalms. Pretty cool. It'd be cool to talk to everybody in heaven and find out if they ever had an inkling, if that was something they were aware of as they were writing this, or maybe learned later or didn't know until they were dead. Pretty cool. So Solomon also was king of Israel. He also would have had access. He would have grown up to the point that his father David died, with David reading those laws to him, with going to the temple, the priests reading the laws, with having access, because he was king, to the actual scrolls themselves. And here is Solomon's prayer. Give me a discerning heart, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Here's my first thought on this. You got the law right there. It seems like, and now this is from a fleshly standpoint, it seems like a wasted request, a wasted prayer. You already got the law. You already have.
Isn't it cut and dry?
It is.
Right?
You've already got the word of God, and it is cut and dried. It absolutely is. And yet, because of the heart of his father David, I think, pressing in behind the letter of the law to get the heart of the law, we're following your law. Absolutely, God. We are doing your commandments. But what's the heart? We want to know more than just checking the boxes. We want relationship, God. We want to know the heart behind them. And you see that all through David's writings is kind of this, the thing behind the thing, behind the scenes. God, I want to know you. And so I think Solomon was tapping into that. It seems like right and wrong should be obvious, right? So remember, this is the launching pad to Solomon becoming the wisest man that had ever and will ever live. That's a distinction that he gets. The wisest man ever. And here's what he's praying. You would think that right and wrong would be a simple matter of just getting the Bible out and finding out. And it 100%, please don't mishear what we're saying. That is every time our starting point, starting and ending point, is the Word of God. But he prays this prayer, God, I want to know, I want to have a discerning heart so that I could know right and wrong. And how funny for us, where, has anyone ever prayed for wisdom? Okay, I see a vast amount of you nodding your heads. When we look at the guy that God answered his prayer and he became the wisest man on earth, here's what I find funny. Funny and not in a good way. Here's what I find funny. We'll look at his prayer and we'll kind of, we wouldn't actually say that, but we kind of have this attitude because I want something deeper, bolder, bigger, better. Like there's got to be some, and here's Solomon's prayer. God, give me a discerning heart that I might distinguish right and wrong. I already know that. God, I just need some wisdom here. And this is Solomon's gateway. This is the opening into the wisest man that ever lived. His prayer is, God, give me a discerning heart so that I can see the difference. Because if we don't start there, wisdom can have no effect in our life, because wisdom is seeing how the things play out and the thing behind the thing. If you don't have discernment, you'll never use wisdom, because you won't see which one of those is the right option. Wisdom then will let you see how that thing plays out and be able to use it for kingdom benefits. But discernment needs to know which one of those choices is the right choice to begin with.
And so, yeah, what Kirk's trying to hit at here is this idea that sometimes the lines between right and wrong and good and evil, we blur them or we muddy them. And they don't just get as, they're not as clear and cut and dry as the Word of God tells us they are. And so what Solomon is asking for is he's asking for discernment. I love when God puts him on the spot. You know, he's, think about it, he just took over as king of Israel, and it wasn't like they had this formal governmental structure that it was just, I just move in and it's easy to follow, right? There's still a fractured patriarchal society, and I won't get into that, but like, you got to understand, he's overwhelmed in this moment of his life, and when he's overwhelmed, what does he ask for? He asks for the thing that he truly needs. It's discernment, because the lines between right and wrong and good and evil, Lord, they've been muddied. They've been muddied by my father. They've been muddied by his father and his father and his father and his father, so that to the point where this is, it's not so clear anymore to me. And I was just going to share this. This is Solomon writes Proverbs like this, 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Well, I'd recognize death in the long run. Would you? Like, well, I'm just going to drive 5 miles over the speed limit. Do you know there's a deer right down the road? Like, oh, I'm in a hurry, though. See how quickly we justify. We justify every area, and justification always muddies the water between right and wrong, or the difference. It blurs the lines between right and wrong.
Absolutely. And I just... Absolutely. Going back to the point... Right before that, just we should learn something from every part of Scripture, and every part of Scripture has multi-layered, yes, multi-layered revelation for us. Okay, and so we should learn from the life of Solomon, who became the wisest man in the world, that this is a great prayer to pray, that he prayed and that his father David prayed. God, give us discernment, give us discernment, give us discerning. Even more than that, give us discerning hearts. That at the core of my being, I would be able to know the difference between right and wrong. God, I don't want to be going down a wrong path and not know it. And so let's not... Wisdom begins with humility. Wisdom begins with humility. We can't ever leave that. And so the doorway to wisdom is a humble heart and a discerning heart. And it's recognizing that this prayer, like, maybe I don't know everything. All right? And so, like, entering in that way. Here's another thing that I've kind of gleaned from this. And by watching human nature, and especially myself, we're all convinced that we know right and wrong.
True.
We are all convinced that we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And if we don't keep coming back to the Word of God, and I would even say if we don't keep coming back to the heart of God. Because has anyone ever, let's talk about us for a second. Let's not talk about other people. Let's talk about our own hearts for a second. Has anyone ever on yourself or on someone else misused the Word of God as a deadly weapon? It's the Word of God, but it's connecting to the heart behind the Word as well. It's always the Word of God, absolutely. But if I was to just throw out a blanket question, has the Word of God ever been used for nefarious purposes? Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to go back very far in history, and you can see it. Like, so if we're not pursuing the heart behind the Word, and so I just want to be really careful how I say that, because it is, I don't want you to ever think that we're diminishing the Word of God. It is central. It is His Word. It is infallible and unbroken. And yet, we are fallible. And so it's possible for us to take the Word and to misuse it. So we always want to be seeking the heart. We always want the character of our lives to be matching what the Word of God tells us that God is like, right? So that we're not misusing the Word of God. And so, in all of this, you, I promise, are convinced in most situations you know right from wrong. Sometimes you are misinformed.
Well said.
I know this from my own painful personal experience of decades of doing this, is we have this thing in us that we want to be right. And you touched on it with the justifying. We want to justify because I know what's right and what's wrong. And we get all stirred up about these things. And if we're not pursuing the heart of God, and if we're not asking for heavenly wisdom and heavenly discernment, we're not going to be able to see them because right and wrong get blurred and they get muddied. We have a God-given... Now this is... Okay, trigger word alert. All right, just hold your horses. Put your fruit back in your purse. Throw it at me after church. We all have a God-given, kingdom-given desire in us for justice. Okay? We don't like to see wrongs. If there's a helpless old man, he might be an ornery bugger, but if there's a bunch of kids kicking him in the face, you know, and he can't even hardly walk, most of us, even if we don't come to his aid, something's going to be hurt inside of us. Something's going to be outraged inside of us. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's this desire for justice, which is a character of God. And so, because right and wrong get blurred in our hearts, that's why we need discernment. Because they get blurred, this God-given desire for justice comes out, and now we start telling everybody else what's right and wrong. And it might have no connection at all to the Word of God, but I'm telling you what's right and wrong because I've got this sense for justice that's pre-wired into me, and I want to see justice done, and you're wrong, so I'm going to tell you that you're wrong. And so if we don't keep coming back to the Word and praying for discernment, praying that God, help me to sift through some of these things. Help me to rightly apply the Word of God and help me to see truth in all these scenarios. We get sucked into condemning people that they're doing wrong things when they're not wrong according to the Word of God, and aligning our hearts with right things that according to the Word and heart of God are not right. So I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, because you got to understand, especially if you read any of the Psalms for David, as he's doing a study on the law of God, at the same time, there's got to be this healthy balance of pursuing the heart of God, mm-hmm. because it's easy to study this. I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe this is a new revelation for you, but it's easy to study this and still lose sight of the heart of God. And how crazy is that? Like you want an example, right? Right? Okay. Think Pharisees for a second, okay? They were experts. Jesus even called them experts in the law, but yet he will also say to them, but your hearts are far from me. You know this, but it's not, your heart is far from me. You've distanced yourself in terms of your heart for the sake of just knowing this, and you didn't know me. And this, right? That's what God would want. God would want us to know this and him in equal measures.
Absolutely. And we're to pursue the Word of God just continually. Man, it's our life source. But we got to be careful to worship God and pursue his heart and not worship our knowledge of the Word of God. I know that's a little bit assaulting, but it's so true that because we see it, you can see examples of that in the Word of God, where people knew the Word, but they weren't pursuing the heart of God. And we want to be people that pursue the heart of God. Just let's judge it by the fruit and the character. Is it the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Is it match up with the character of God? And then, all right. So pray this prayer. Pray that we have a discerning heart, because it's really easy for us to have our hearts pulled, especially when we have... I'm going to skip that. I'm weighing this out. I'm going to move on from that. Let's look at the last part of this verse here. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. Do your prayers bring pleasure to God?
Ooh. or do my prayers seek to bring pleasure to me?
Mm. Yep. And yet there's this component, you know, Lord, give us our daily bread. You know, like we're to pray about things like that. So I don't want to get lost in the weeds on prayer here, but I just love that we get a snapshot here that God was pleased that Solomon came in humility. I'm your servant, Lord. You know, God said, what do you want? Give your servant a discerning heart. He was praying. Well, let me go on to the next verse here. God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourselves, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked, and I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been... Say that last... Can you read that last? Read it with me, because I bet you can't either. So that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. I don't get any say on the translations. I would love to have some input on the verbiage of that.
Well, it's negative future perfect tense.
That's what I said. So God was pleased that Solomon asked for this. And so that you've not asked for the death of your enemies or long life or wealth, but for discernment in administering justice. When we don't have discernment, our desire for justice gets perverted. When we don't have discernment, it's very easy for our desire for justice to get off track. And we want discernment. We want to be in line with the heart and word of God. And so God was pleased. You see, Solomon asked for kingdom resources to do kingdom things. And God is pleased with those kind of prayers. God's not, I don't even remember the name of it, so I'll skip it. We went through a prayer thing, and it was about praying big prayers and just kind of just really challenged a lot of us that went through that to be excited about, like, and I just remember the phrase, God's not scared of your big prayers. God is not scared of your big prayers. So it's not the big prayers that's the thing. It's what's behind the big prayers. Like, what are we using these for? You have not because you ask not, James would say. And when you do ask, you want to use it for your selfish desires. And so God's not against you asking for things that you need. And even God even gave him wealth and you know, peace with his enemies and all this stuff. But because it was for administering justice and keeping that square in line with God's heart, God was pleased and wanted to answer that prayer. So in our prayers, are we praying for kingdom things? God, I want to see kingdom things happen, not just in my life, but praying for others. Let's not our prayers get too introverted. Pray for the things that you need, but please, let's be praying for things that are kingdom things. Let's be outward focused as well. Pray for others. Pray for your church. Pray for your nation. Pray for your president. Pray for your city. Pray for your communities. Amen?
And as you pray, too, spend time listening, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't let prayer get stuck in a one-way conversation where you just tell God your laundry list of what he's supposed to do for you this day. Mm-hmm. Here's my to-do list, that's God,
good.
Right?
That's good.
No, sorry. You and I don't have that authority to tell God what he's supposed to do for the day, okay? Mm. Spend your time listening. Okay, God, what should I be praying for today? Ask him that question first. Like, God, what should I be praying about today? Who should I be praying for? And let him lay things on your heart. Instead of you coming with all these burdens that you need him to fix, let him burden your heart with what he's actually desiring you to be praying for. And that's a tough process.
It is.
But it's a process that he's calling us to as we grow in maturity with
him. It's a glorious process that we get invited to participate in that. We get invited in to participate in God moving in other people's lives. Think about that. You get to participate in the move of God in other people's lives by your participation in your prayers with that.
Yes.
How incredible. Why would we only want to pray for ourselves? Oh my goodness. Like, this is glorious. Like, we get to be involved in hearts changing and lives coming to Christ and people being renewed and refreshed and empowered. Let's kind of land on the verse that we ended with last time. Let's talk about discernment in our hearts.
Yes.
This is Hebrews 4:12. This is kind of what we ended with last time. And we're just going to camp out here just for a minute or two and then finish for today. Stephen, would you read that verse for us?
Yeah, and so this is Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart."
Yeah, absolutely. And this happens when we approach the word of God with humility. Mm-hmm. Happens when we approach the word of God looking at the heart of God in it. And that then that transformation starts happening in our life. The word of God is living. It's alive. It is not it's not just a bunch of characters on a page. It's not lifeless and dead. There's something about the word of God. It comes from the breath of God. It's his life on printed page. I don't know how that works. It's one of the mysteries of our Christian faith is that this word of God, the same. Now, I'm going to get a lot of hands and head nods from this. How many have ever read a verse and you've read it 100 times and you've read it 100 more times and you've read it 100 more times and you're like, oh, it means this and this and that's so awesome and it stirred your heart. And then you read it again and you're like, oh, I never saw that before. It jumped off the page at you. It's alive. The word of God is what we call the revealed will of God. Okay? So the word of God is alive, and it has a desire for your life. Just like something, it has volition. It has a will. It's the will of God for your life. It's the revealed will of God. It wants to see transformation in your life because it's his word. It's his will. It's his power. It's his presence. And it's active or powerful. How many of you have ever been walking through the woods or walking through your house and stumbled upon a critter that's not active but alive? It came when my friend and I lived in Webster for a while, and we were not following Christ and not living well. And we didn't clean things very well because we were a couple 20-year-old guys. And we came into, it was this old farmhouse that this guy had rented to us for like $100 a month. And we kind of cleaned it up, and my mom came there for a whole day, bless her heart, and cleaned it all up, and we moved in. And one of the times when we came home, we walked into our living room, and there was a gopher sleeping on the floor. True story. I looked at Troy, and he looked at me, and he's like, "That's a gopher." I'm like, "It's a gopher. There's a gopher sleeping on our living, probably had eaten all of our food." And
just, well, now you could split rent three ways, though.
It's true. That's true. There was a gopher, was alive, but it was not active. And it was just chilling out on our floor there. And so I don't really remember. It would be a really good story if I remembered how we got rid of it. We some outed it somehow in some humane way, I'm sure, and you know, concerned with the needs of the gopher, first and foremost, I would guess, probably. I don't know for sure because I can't remember. But there was a gopher sleeping on our floor. The word of God is not dormant. Not only is it alive, but it's active. It's moving as much as you let it move in your heart. It will move in your life as much as you let it move in your life. Before you read the word of God, just say a prayer. God, I'm going to read this. Holy Spirit, it needs to be revealed by you. Reveal it to me. God, give me a soft heart so that I can hear it. Give me hearing ears. Give me seeing eyes. Lord, let me ingest this word and let it stir in my heart. I want to read it humbly. I don't know everything, God. I don't know everything. I've got these verses committed to memory, and I think I know some of them, but I don't know it all. God's like, no kidding, right? He knows that. But as we come with humble hearts, say, God, show me your word. Show me what you want me to see today. Then the word of God will be active in our lives.
When we started this journey kind of on this idea of partnership, we had this conversation about how partnership implies an action component. There's got to be an active component to partnership. And actually, as I was kind of studying that, I had this thought, and it's just how many times do you read the Bible? All right, this was a challenge to me. So if this doesn't challenge you, that's fine. It challenged me, though. How many times do I open this word of God, Stephen, and I'm just looking for confirmation of what I already believe.
Come on.
Like, I'm just looking for confirmation of a thought I already have. I've already got God in this box.
Yep.
And so I'm just going to open this Bible and just, I'm just looking for confirmation of this thing that I already believe to be true about God. And God really challenged me in that and is like, no. When you open this, you need to be looking for transformation. Transformation. And I tell you, the difference is, in one instance, I'm approaching this humbly. In the other instance, I'm approaching this out of arrogance, where I'm just looking for confirmation. A good preacher that we like to listen to, he said it like this: if you read the Bible and it says exactly what you want it to say, beware.
Beware.
Beware, because you're approaching it through the wrong intention or the wrong spirit.
We're going to stop here, but the very next line is sharper than a double-edged sword, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not so much comforting, right? If it says what you want it to say every single time you read it, there's no sword happening there, right?
It's dull. It's lost its...
We need to have hearing ears and humble hearts and let the Word of God affect and infect us. And like, we don't want to try to control the Word of God to try to make it say what we think it's going to say. Let it reveal our hearts. We're going to stop there. Discernment, guys, we need it, especially in this moment. Open our ears, God. Help us to listen to your voice. Help us to discern right from wrong. God, give us hearing and understanding hearts. God, we pray that today in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Have an awesome day.